Welcome to Husky Nation News, right here on WHUS Stores 91.7 FM. This broadcast is in collaboration with UConn Newspaper, The Daily Campus, and UConn student-run TV station, UTTV. I am your host, Grace McFadden, and here's the news from the University of Connecticut this week. For the 10th year in a row, the University of Connecticut has ranked in the top 25 public universities. U.S. News & World Report released their rankings recently. UConn is tied for 23rd with Rutgers University and Pennsylvania State University. UConn was ranked 63rd overall. UConn Praxis held its official kickoff on Wednesday night, reports the Daily Campus's Mikhail Thompson. The event was held by some of the Praxis's executive board. Connecticut Secretary of State Denise Merrill spoke at the event. Merrill encouraged students to go vote. Student body president Mason Holland also spoke at the event. Praxis also introduced a total of 5 campaigns for the semester: affordable textbooks, sustainable skies, women's rights, zero waste, and hunger and homelessness. The Involvement Fair was held on Monday, reports the Daily Campus's Jordana Castelli. From 2 to 7 p.m., several hundred of UConn student organizations tabled along Fairfield Way. Student organizations were grouped by interest. Clubs ranged from the Steel Bridge Club, which allows students to make a model steel bridge, to Knit for NICU, a club that makes hand-knit items for babies and families who are stuck in the newborn intensive care unit. A virtual involvement fair will be held later today. UConn ranked in the top 10 Sierra Cool schools, reports the Daily Campus's Colin Pateo. The Sierra Club is a nationwide environmental organization. UConn ranked number 8 out of 328 participating schools. The Cool Schools ranking takes into account environmental efforts of all the universities participating. In other environmental news, a team from UConn is working on a grant to reduce the effects of one local environmental issue. Continue listening for more about stormwater runoff. A team of professors and students from UConn are working with Connecticut towns on one local environmental issue, stormwater runoff. Michael Dietz is a co-director of the Center for Land Use and Education, the director of the Connecticut Institute of Water Resources, and one of the leads on the project. He is part of the team of staff and students that received a grant last summer from the National Fish and Wildlife Foundation. Dietz explained that rainwater runoff can have a detrimental effect on local waterways.
Mainly because of all the development that we have in our state. All of the impervious surfaces like roads, parking lots, driveways, rooftops, all that water gets channeled very quickly into our local waterways and essentially is untreated for the most part.
According to Dietz, this changes the hydrologic cycle of these waterways. The hydrologic cycle is the continuous circulation of water in Earth's atmosphere. That means stormwater runoff can allow toxic compounds to seep into the water.
But the Long Island Sound is the ultimate receiving water for all of our surface waters here in the state, or most of them. So it can lead to low oxygen in the sound. It can lead to beach closures in the sound because of excess bacteria in that stormwater, and a variety of other problems. So
the grant allows the team to work on stormwater runoff solutions with 5 different Connecticut towns: Branford, Clinton, Deep River, Madison, and Guilford. The grant will continue into next summer.
So the big picture with this is we are trying to help communities in the state figure out how to reduce their impact on local waters, including the Long Island Sound. Urbanization has caused a lot of negative impacts on our local waters, and cities have to try to figure out how to reduce their impacts and make some improvements to the impaired waters in their towns.
The other principal investigators on this project are Center for Land Use Education and Research Mobile Mapping Educator David Dickinson and Center for Land Use Education and Research Director Chester Arnold. The project also uses the help of undergraduate students who led the way in proposing solutions for the towns. The students researched tailored solutions for each town and then presented them in a report to those towns. Dietz explained that this allows the project to be both a learning experience for the students and an opportunity to create actionable change.
We're basically teaching them how to look at a town and figure out where the opportunities are to retrofit and implement some green stormwater practices. So for all five of the towns that were involved with this project, the students actually presented their reports to the town at the end of the summer. So they were heavily involved and got to interact with First Selectmen and engineers in these towns.
For this grant, the towns involved will pick one of the projects presented by the students and work towards implementing it. Dietz gave the example of rain gardens.
So things like rain gardens, which is basically just a depression in the landscape that's designed to collect stormwater from some of these impervious surfaces. It has native plants in there that help to cycle those pollutants and break them down and let that water infiltrate into the ground.
Dietz also discussed vegetated roofs, which collect rainwater. In the academic year, Dietz also teaches about different practices to combat the detrimental effects of stormwater runoff. When teaching about these solutions, he luckily has a good example very close to home.
I use the stuff that we've put in on campus here as examples throughout the whole semester, throughout the whole year. So we have over 70 individual practices that have been installed here on campus since 2004. So UConn has become a national leader in implementing these things. And I give lots of tours of these things to various classes and visitors to campus. So we have a really nice demonstration of these things right here on campus.
For WHUS News, this is Grace McFadden reporting. On Thursday, UConn Provost Carl Lejeuse announced pass-fail and withdrawal deadlines have changed permanently. The Senate Scholastic Standards Committee brought forth a proposal to move the deadline to place a class on pass-fail to the 11th week of classes. Historically, the pass-fail deadline has been in the first few weeks of classes. The proposal would also make the pass-fail deadline and the deadline to withdraw from a class occur on the same day. The proposal was approved by University Senate. It will take effect this semester. UConn senior Damani Douglas has been named one of the inaugural Martin Luther King Social Justice Fellows, reports the Daily Campus's Hallie LaTondra. Douglas is a political science and communications major. Last year, Douglas served as the undergraduate student government's chief diversity officer. And this year, he is serving as the president of UConn's NAACP chapter. He is one of 50 students who were picked as the part of the first class of this fellowship. Intent to run forms for the undergraduate student government are now open. Over 30 Senate seats are available. The Senate seats are categorized as residential, academic, or multicultural/diversity. The election will run Tuesday, September 28th at noon until Thursday, September 30th at noon. More information can be found at usg.ucon.edu. UConn women's soccer went head-to-head with Syracuse last Sunday afternoon. UCTV's Taylor Woods has more.
Hey guys, it's your girl Taylor Woods reporting live from the Joseph J. Maroney Stadium, where the UConn women's soccer team just demolished the Syracuse Orangemen. It was a great game. Everybody was amped. The crowd was amped. I was amped. The bees were amped. And it was just a beautiful day for a women's soccer team.
In the first 2 minutes of the game, our very own Kara Jordan scored with a rebound, giving the Huskies a 1-0 advantage. The Huskies were very dominant and kept the ball on the offense. The team were consistently well-rounded, making strong defensive plays to support their goalie, Caitlin Mahoney, and transitioning quickly into the offensive zone. At the end of the first half, senior Duda Satin scored to make the score 2-0. The Huskies offered Syracuse few chances to score and maintain position for the majority of the half. In the second half, sophomore Lucy Capadonna made the 3-0 lead too empowering for the Orange. And while they attempted to come back, there was no stopping the Huskies' aggression or Mahoney and her defensive squad.
It was an amazing game. UConn women's soccer team was able to remain their blowout 3-0 to Syracuse. But if you missed it, don't worry, because they will be back September 18th at 1 p.m. here at Joseph J. Maroney's Stadium. As always, it's your girl Taylor Woods reporting live. Catch you next time.
In other soccer news, UConn's men's team played Yale on Tuesday evening. UCTV's Spencer Murray has the story on that game.
I'm Spencer Murray, coming to you from Joseph J. Maroney Stadium, where the UConn Huskies men's soccer team just took on the Yale Bulldogs in order to determine Connecticut's top dog. And a dogfight it was. It was a battle from the beginning, as both teams were deadlocked until late in the first half. There were 29 combined fouls between the Huskies and Bulldogs, with three different players being shown yellow cards. Jamali Waite had another spectacular game, making some incredible saves and finishing with his third clean sheet of the season. He has allowed just one goal in four games this fall. In the 33rd minute, Dominic Laws opened up the scoring, and it was Scott Testori just 5 minutes later who scored his first career goal for the Huskies. It was a perfect September night for college soccer, but an even more perfect night for UConn sophomore Jaden Reed. He had an inspiring performance off the bench, finishing the game with three assists, a goal, and an absolute screamer that came ricocheting off the crossbar. Giancarlo Vaccaro netted the dagger for UConn in the 81st minute to seal the Huskies' third win of the season. Here's what Dominic and Jaden had to say about the tremendous performance. Talk to us about the performance that this guy right here had.
Unbelievable. It seemed like everything he touched just turned into gold tonight. He was unstoppable.
Can you talk a little bit about your mindset coming into tonight's game and what propelled you to play the way you did coming on as a sub?
I mean, like, only God knows how hard I work, you know. I'm prepared for this. I work my ass off every day. So, like, you know, just due time. I got to thank God for it, you know. Just, I'm blessed to have this experience, you know.
The Huskies look to improve their record to 4-1 this Saturday when they travel to Indianapolis to take on Butler. For Maroney Stadium, I'm Spencer Murray, UCTV Sports.
The university is using a color-coded system for COVID for this semester. Currently, the store's campus is at code orange, meaning masks are required indoors and recommended outdoors. On Wednesday, Dean of Students Eleanor Daugherty updated the student body about university policy regarding COVID. For the time being, Daugherty wrote in an email to the UConn community, the campus will remain in code orange. This aligns with Mansfield's indoor mask mandate, which has been in place since August. 97% of Storrs residential students are fully or partially vaccinated against COVID. Currently, there are two positive cases at Storrs, bringing the total number of cases to 12 for the school year thus far for students. So far, there have been 22 reported cases among faculty and staff. Today will be mostly cloudy with a high near 74. The wind will be 5 to 7 miles per hour to the east. The chance of precipitation is around 20%. Tonight will be mostly cloudy with a low around 64. Tomorrow will be mostly sunny with a high near 78 before the temperature drops in the evening to a low of around 61. Sunday will be sunny with a high near 75. Stick around. We'll be right back with more Husky Nation news.
Welcome to Husky Nation News.
We've got the University of Connecticut's Need to Know news.
We'll now be moving into the talk portion of our news show.
I wanted to start a newspaper, and so I did.
Sure.
I
mean, it was Egyptian, like your mummies, and I'm like,
really focused
like,
on
no,
comfort
like,
of the patient.
I am originally from Northern Ireland, which is a country.
How many Pop Tarts?
Bienvenidos a nuestro.
Like, if you were to go there,
and you are listening to WHUS Storrs 91.7 FM. From this point forward, the views and opinions expressed on this WHUS News Department show are those of the hosts and guests and are not necessarily the views of the staff, management, or licensee of WHUS Radio or the University of Connecticut. Welcome back to Husky Nation News, everyone. Once again, I am your host, Grace McFadden. You are listening to WHUS Stores 91.7 FM. And today I have with me Brandon Barzola, who is the managing editor of The Daily Campus. Brandon, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hello, I'm Brandon. I'm a senior in Information Journalism double major, and as Grace said, I'm the managing editor at The Daily Campus.
All right, cool. Can you give us a little intro to what The Daily Campus is?
Yeah, so The Daily Campus is UConn's independent student newspaper, entirely run by students. We report on all kinds of news and events regarding student life, things that are happening on campus, and more.
All right, perfect. How did you initially get involved at The Daily Campus?
So I joined my freshman year as a writer because I wanted something that would keep me writing after high school. And once I joined as a writer in the life section, I also became a photographer. And from there, I later got involved in multiple other production roles.
All right. So what other roles have you done besides being obviously the managing editor?
Yeah, so after becoming a staff writer my freshman year, I also became a copy editor and a layout designer my sophomore year. Junior year, I was the associate managing editor, and now we're on senior year.
That actually leads me really well into what I was going to ask next. So as you mentioned, last year you were the associate managing editor at The Daily Campus. So what was it like to kind of be a student leader of one of the larger student organizations on campus during a pandemic when you obviously have a lot more things to keep in mind, a lot more considerations?
Yeah, it was definitely strange because this was like my first leadership position at The Daily Campus, but it was mostly figuring out how we can continue to produce a newspaper on a daily basis while still maintaining like COVID social distancing guidelines and making sure people wear masks whenever they're in the building. A lot of the staff worked remotely last year. Even I had to sometimes take days off and work remotely, but a lot of that decision making was left up to like the managing editor at the time, and she did a great job.
All right. Cool. Yeah. So what was it like to have to kind of all of a sudden switch to remote? Did you find any particular challenges with having part of your staff work remotely at all?
Yeah, I would say the quality of our paper was definitely shifting because with people having to figure out their computers at home and whether or not that could run the programs we use like InDesign, Photoshop, and more, it was also harder to like communicate with our staff sometimes, because if they're working remotely, sometimes they're not always attentive to their phone, or if they like take a break, then we can't always like figure out where they are or like what's going on if like something along the line of production is like halted or slowing down a bit.
Got you. Do you think there were any benefits at all to working remotely, or did you find that it was mostly just challenges?
There were some benefits. I mean, it was easier to work. I would say like in my personal opinion, working from home has its benefits because you don't really have to travel anywhere. You don't have to worry about being around other people, especially during a pandemic. But I would say definitely a lot of challenges and benefits came out of last year, but it definitely gave us a new perspective on what it takes to run this newspaper every day and what we can improve on moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you're actually a commuter student right now, right? So you had to work from home for a lot of the pandemic?
Yes, I am.
All right. So now, as we mentioned, you are the managing editor, which is obviously one of the bigger roles at the paper. Describe to us what you do as the managing editor at The Daily Campus.
I like to put it simply as like I make sure the paper gets made every night, and that means essentially training and hiring a staff of designers and copy editors. Each night we have a new, like a completely different staff of designers and copy editors. There's given like 15 different people in the building every night, but it's a lot of sort of training, scheduling. A lot of it does have to do with like problem solving, making sure people understand how to use the programs that we use at the newspaper and how we can make the newspaper a great product every day for our readers.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. So how does, like, for example, layout design work at the Daily Campus? What does that kind of look like, and what does that entail for your staff? And how do you teach that?
Yeah, so this year we gave, like, a remote training, but obviously we had people come in early to their first shifts to really give them, like, a good, like, thorough rundown of, like, how InDesign works. We use Adobe InDesign to lay out all our articles, photos, and graphics onto the pages, and Photoshop we use to help edit, crop, and, like, change some of the photos that we use. Our designers start every night at 6 p.m. and work until they're really done, which is typically around midnight. And that involves a lot of just laying out articles onto a page, a lot of formatting, making sure alignment looks correct, and attaching photos to these articles so that it looks nice on the page, creating elements of balance, hierarchy, making sure that, like, when someone's looking at a page, it's not, like, cluttered, it's not, like, overwhelming to the eye. A lot of what we do is, like, anticipating how the reader will think or feel when reading our pages, and it's making sure that, like, the right stories are being drawn to the eye first over others.
That makes sense. So in addition to your position as, like, literally managing designers and copy editors, you're also part of the executive team at the Daily Campus. What do your responsibilities look like on the administrative side of literally just running a newspaper?
Yeah, I would say on the administrative side, I'm obviously just answering a lot of emails, making sure that people are getting hired. If people are interested in joining the Daily Campus, that I point them in the right direction of, like, who to talk to, how to join. And really just troubleshooting a lot of things. Sometimes we have tech issues, sometimes people need coverage. A lot of it is just making sure that there is a good amount of communication between everyone and everything, because the Daily Campus is, like, a giant machine, and if one cog sort of starts to not function properly, I need to make sure that things keep going along smoothly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that leads me actually pretty well into the next question, which is, do you think COVID has impacted recruitment at all, and how is that factoring into you trying to get people to join this year?
I would say last year there was definitely a drastic, shift or lack of recruitment for all organizations last year. I would say we definitely didn't get as many freshmen as we normally would, and that's because, I mean, it was all remote. It was hard to, like, figure out what you can and can't do on campus if you, like, can't physically be there. This year, definitely, myself and the other executives and all the other editors at the Daily Campus are working towards recruitment and, like, improving our membership. And also, like, membership recruitment and membership retention, we want to make this a welcoming environment, and we want people to, like, understand how much fun working here can be and writing for us can be. Yeah, I would say this year we're definitely working on recruiting more people, trying to find new ways to get people to come join and also just stay with us for a little while. It does seem a little easier because the involvement fair happened a couple days ago and we did get a lot of signups, and it's probably, like, people wanting to get involved and, like, wanting to meet new people after an entire year of, like, having to do everything remotely from, like, a dorm or from home. There's definitely some, like, eagerness to get out there and do something.
All right. I also understand that you are part of the newly founded Diversity and Inclusion Committee within the Daily Campus. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so that was started with a group of other members of the Daily Campus last fall. It was really just a conversation about why we were having certain issues with representation in our content and in our, like, membership. And so I felt like I myself, as a minority, like, needed to find a way to sort of help increase diversity at the Daily Campus. We wanted to make sure that this place was welcoming to all people of all backgrounds, and that it wasn't sort of intimidating for anyone who might feel like they might... We don't want people to feel out of place here. And part of my job is both, like, an executive or like as one of the new co-chairs of this diversity inclusion committee is to make sure that we can spearhead initiatives that like ensure that the DC becomes a more welcoming and open environment, because a lot of people have these misconceptions that like to join the Daily Campus you have to be like a journalism major or like you have to have experience in like writing like news. That's not at all true, and we just want people to know that like you can join regardless of major or background or experience you have, because we're here to teach you and we're here to help you grow, and that's all we really want to do.
That's great. All right, you're obviously very involved at the Daily Campus, but do you have anything you like to do outside the Daily Campus?
So because of COVID the past year, I haven't been able to like partake in the clubs I normally do, but my sophomore year I did join the fencing club, and that was a big time commitment that I really enjoyed. I had never fenced before, but I really did enjoy fencing once I joined, and I hope to continue it this year. Hopefully I can find the time in my schedule given like classes and work stuff, but yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it. And have a great rest of your day, Brandon.
Thank you.
Thank you all for listening this morning. And thanks again to our news partners, The Daily Campus, UConn Student Newspaper, and UCTV, UConn Student Television Station. And thank you to Ethan Smith, the creator of our theme music. I am Grace McFadden. You have been listening to Husky Nation News on WHUS Doors 91.7 FM. Catch you next week, Husky Nation.